Our scripture reading for this morning comes from the 12th chapter of the Gospel according to Mark, beginning in verse 38. As Jesus taught, he said, "Beware the scribes, who like to walk around in long robes and to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces, and to have the best seats in the synagogues and places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses, and for the sake of appearance, say long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation." He sat down opposite the treasury and watched the crowd putting money into the treasury. Many rich people put in large sums. A poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which are worth a penny. Then he called his disciples and said to them, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the treasury. For all of them have contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put everything in that she had, all that she had to live on." Let me tell you a story that happened in my first church in Vermont about 30 years ago. I did a wedding for a couple that had a cottage in the area, and they were up there for, as you can imagine, for weekends during the summer and perhaps into the fall, and I suppose probably for ski season as well. And they came to church a couple of weeks or so after the wedding, after they'd gotten back from their honeymoon. Now, on that particular Sunday, as the ushers had taken the offering, there were just two guys that had taken the offering, and they were standing down in the back. And there was quite a disparity in height between the two, which kind of added to the comic relief of the moment. One of them was guy that was shorter than me, another one was a tall older guy who was well over 6 foot tall. So they're standing there with the offering plates. And the short guy, Paul, was elbowing Dennis, the taller man, and pointing at the offering plate. Well, Dennis was kind of elbowing him, saying, "What? Cut it out! Cut it out!" So they came up as we sang the doxology and handed me the offering plates as I was to say the prayer. And I saw what Paul had been gesturing at. On top of the offering plate, on top of all the money and offering envelopes, there was a fresh, crisp $100 bill. So it was obvious that that's what Paul was quite excited about. Well, the next week came, next Sunday, and the couple was there again. And the same little comedy acted out in the back. Paul and Dennis stand in there. They took the offering every Sunday. And Paul was gesturing at the offering plate and elbowing Dennis, and Dennis is elbowing him back to shut up. And they came down with the offering plates, and on top of the offering plate again was this fresh, crisp $100 bill. Well, this happened one more Sunday. Same thing, although Paul wasn't kind of excited because he saw the couple had come back, and he was thinking, wow, maybe they're going to drop a $100 bill in the offering plate every single time they came. They never came back. I had found out later on that soon after their wedding, they had sold their camp or their cottage and were gone. Never saw them again. And in conversation with people in the next couple months, I would often hear, "Whatever happened to that couple that was, you know, dropped the $100 bill in the offering plate?" And I did look into it, and that's how I had found out that they had sold their camp and were out of the area. Gee, wouldn't it be great if we could get them to become members? Wouldn't that be really good? Wouldn't that be great? So they were obviously missed. And, you know, in my mind, I had to stop and think. This was sort of a learning moment for me in the first few years of ministry. Did I notice their absence more because they were putting $100 in the offering plate every Sunday? And the question I asked myself was, if this were a person who was obviously poor, and they came every Sunday and dropped a quarter in the offering plate, came a few weeks and then never came back, would I miss them as much? I had to think long and hard about that. This is at the very heart of this story about Jesus and the disciples as they sit in the treasury. This passage is about a number of things. It is about stewardship, but it's about a number of other things too that I will not be focusing on as such this morning. For one thing, this story does highlight the situation of widows and children in the time of Jesus. A woman whose status was not attached to a man, whether it was a husband, a father, or perhaps a son, was totally out of luck. And Jesus saves his harshest words for people who did what they could to keep particular groups of people that were seen useless in society, to keep these people in poverty. And so it is not an accident that in the lectionary, the Revised Common Lectionary, we find Jesus' condemnation of such people before this passage about the widow with the two coins. And I'm sure it's no accident, as the person who wrote or put together Mark's Gospel had those two stories together. So Jesus warns about seeing the accumulation of money at somebody else's expense as contrary to what God would have us do with all the resources that we are given. And then we have the contrast with the story about the widow who brings in the two coins. Now, the treasury in the temple was in the outer part of the temple complex. I've actually seen the Temple Mount. Obviously, the temple is not there anymore. The site is now covered by a large mosque in the Dome of the Rock, but the platform is still there, and it's huge. It's about an acre of land. And the way the temple was built, it was a series of smaller and smaller courtyards, almost like Chinese boxes, you know, one box inside the other. And the treasury was at the outer part. This was a courtyard that everybody could go to, Jew or Gentile. And then there was an inner court that was just the women's court that only Jewish women and everybody else could go into. And then there was a men's court that only Jewish men could go in. And then finally, the temple itself, which only the priests could actually enter. And in the treasury, there were large receptacles, I guess. Kind of imagine there was a fad for a while at shopping malls where you would have these large trumpet-shaped things and you'd throw the coin in and you'd watch the coin go and then down into the container. Something like that. And the way that they were made was so that somebody that brought in a lot of money, you can imagine some rich person coming in wearing flashy clothing and dropping his gold coins. One at a time, just to impress everybody that he had a lot of money. Then up comes the widow with these two little copper coins. Now, on your bulletin cover, you'll see, if you're wondering what the picture is, take a look at your bulletin cover. I have the good fortune to have a couple of widow's mites, and you can see them. And this is actual scale, so you can see them in the palm of my hand. They're not very big. So these are two tiny little copper coins. And these turn up in archaeological digs in the Mediterranean all the time. So they're actually fairly common, although because of the biblical connection, you can usually sell them for a pretty good price. It's ironic that they were worth really not much of anything during their own time, but now they're a very highly desired ancient coin. So these two coins were worth not very much. And to give you perspective, this is a Roman denarius. It's about the size of an American dime. It's a silver coin. And this traditionally was one day's wage for an unskilled laborer. Okay? So it took, if you can imagine, there's 128 pennies in here. I don't have 128 widow's mites because I don't earn that much. But there is 128 lepta, as they are called, equaled this. So doing the math, and I think Dave would be proud of me that I figured this out all by myself. This is based on a 12-hour workday. In the ancient world, 12 hours was your workday. It was before OSHA and, you know, stuff like that. That this amounted, one of these coins amounted to about 6 minutes of labor in the ancient world, okay? So if you correspond that with an 8-hour workday, figuring $8 an hour, just to be generous, I know the minimum wage is, what, $7.52, I think, something like that. It works out to about a dollar that these two coins would be worth in today's money, okay? So $1, that's what they would be worth. So that puts it in perspective. Now, how many times have we, any one of us, when you were, say, going into a store around Christmas time and the Salvation Army is out there ringing the bells, what size bill do you take out? It's a $1 bill, isn't it? Maybe you ought to try something a little bit bigger. Because that $1 bill in today's world, I mean, you think about it, it's not really worth a whole lot. You can't really do much with a dollar. But to somebody who's living on a fixed income or has very little income, if any, and is supporting a family, this is a lot of money. This is a lot of money. There's a comic strip that I tried to find, and I was going to put this on the front cover of the bulletin, but I couldn't find it because it's probably still under copyright. Because way back to when I was a kid, if you remember, any of you remember Dennis the Menace? Okay. Well, there was one particular cartoon in the paper one Sunday morning, and it shows Dennis and his parents in the sitting in the pew, and the offering plate has just gone by them, and Dennis says in a very loud voice, "Dad, why is it that you're the only person that made the plate clink?" And you can imagine Dad with the little lines across the face that meant he was embarrassed. Well, if you can afford to put in something that doesn't make the plate clink, then that's a good thing. But this widow could do nothing more than that. And I can imagine that the people who counted up that money at the end of the day would see these little coins and think, "Oh, they're just cheap. They're just being cheap. They don't really matter. What matters is the big gold coins and the silver coins. That's what matters." We don't know why the widow was in the situation that she was in. Obviously, she was a widow. She probably didn't have very much income. And we can only speculate. But what we do know is that she gave everything that she had. When we think about stewardship, it is very tempting to think about giving so that the church has what it needs, say, to meet the budget. Instead, think of giving in this way. Instead of giving simply to help to meet the church budget, which is not to say that's not important, of course it is, but to give instead based on what God has done for you. This is obviously what this widow does. Her two lepta wouldn't have made a bit of difference in terms of running the temple. But it was an expression of how grateful she was for everything she had. I learned a great deal about this experience with the couple with the $100 bills. It made me stop and think, are the people who give the most important? Or is the person who drops just pocket change because that's all they have into the plate? Aren't they as beloved in God's eyes as someone who can give a great amount? Of course. Of course. So as we think about our consecration Sunday, as we make our financial promises for what we plan on giving the church next year, think about how grateful you are for what God has done for you. And only you know that. Think about how grateful you are for what God has done. And then give accordingly. And think not just about the money you give, but how else you can give. Do you have skills to help out with a particular project or aspect of the church's life? Think about how you can give in gratitude for what God has done for you. And indeed, you will be blessed. Amen.